Today is to be found in the second book of Kings, chapter 21 and 22, also in the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 31 and 32. We have been speaking to you about Manasseh, this ungodly king who had done so much wickedness amongst Israel of old, and how that God punished him and brought him into Babylon, and how that when he was in the prison in Babylon, he was given to see what he had done, how light shined down into his mind and into his heart, and he was given to see his past life and the sins that he had committed, and therefore he greatly humbled himself before the Lord. And we find that this light penetrated into his heart and brought him down in true confession of his sins, and he began to pray to this God in heaven for mercy. I described to you how wonderful it was that God was entreated of this man who had been such a terrible character, who had sinned so greatly and caused the people to sin so much, who had likewise shed so much innocent blood in the city of Jerusalem. As I said, historians say that he even sawed Isaiah to pieces in the hollow of a tree. But here we find this man in this prison crying to God, and God heard him. Oh, what an encouragement we have in the history of Manasseh, and that for the greatest of sinners, who may be given likewise to humble themselves and to pray unto this same God as Manasseh did. Now, there may be some creatures amongst me that are listening to me that say, why, I'm such a sinner, such a great sinner, and there's no hope for me. Oh, there is. Look at Manasseh. Did he cry to God, and did God hear him? Why wouldn't he hear the likes of you? Oh, this man was again placed upon the throne of Israel. This king of Assyria reinstated him, and we find him performing such a glorious reformation. And we find him taking away all the idols that he had built himself, especially the idol in the house of the Lord. And he went throughout his country, casting all the idols outside of the city of Jerusalem. And he built an altar unto the Lord and commanded Israel to come and worship before that altar. Oh, how changed was this man, my hearers. That which he had built up, he broke down. That which he had loved, he hated now. We find him gifted with an entirely different spirit. The Spirit of God was dwelling in him. This God now he loved, he feared, and he wanted everyone else to love him and fear him. Oh, he wanted his people to seek this God. He was such a blessed example of the mercy and of the pity of this God, and therefore I think he said, come all ye that fear the Lord, and I will tell you what he has done to my soul. Oh, how he wanted his people to return back to this God. He had been the cause, the instrument that had turned them away from God, and now he wanted them to serve this God. But he wasn't so successful in his reformation with the people. Although he himself, he shined as a burning light amidst these people, still the people would not follow him in many things that he wanted them to do. And now, my hearers, he is a type of each and every sinner where the grace of God manifests itself in. Or wherever this grace comes into a person's soul, there commences a blessed reformation. All sin outwardly is left, is forsaken. A person can't go on in his sins any longer when this grace, when this love comes down into a person's heart. All he sees sin as he never saw it before. He forsakes all his former companions. And all, he wants everyone to love and to fear this God as he does. But he finds to his sorrow, like Manasseh, that everyone doesn't listen to them words and doesn't do as he asks them to do to seek God. And now Manasseh, he died and he slept with his fathers and he was buried. And we find that one of his sons by the name of Ammon, he was placed upon the throne. And now this young man, he was only 22 years of age, and when he began to reign, he began to do what his father had formerly done. Ammon, he wasn't converted. He didn't do as Manasseh did, who humbled himself before God. But this king, he began to build up all the idols and all the images again. And he, with the people, sinned so greatly. It says that he even sinned worse than Manasseh in this respect. And after he had been king 2 years, his servants conspired against him and slew him. Imagine, 24 years of age, and he was killed. He was taken away in his sins, lost forever, my hearers. All this reminds us, no matter whether we are young or whether we are old, that death is coming. You don't know how long you're going to live, my hearers, and neither do I. God only knows this. And this man, only 24, and he was killed, he was slain in the midst of his sins and lost forever. How will it go with you? Should death come unexpectedly to you, where would you spend eternity? Have you ever given it a thought? Or are you careless about these things? Do you not think of it? Oh, ye careless sinners, oh, I would lift up my voice unto you. Don't go on in your sins. Don't harden your hearts. Don't do like this King Ammon did. See how he was killed and he was gone. He was lost forever. Oh, I would say, turn ye, my hearers. There is mercy, there is forgiveness. I've just said it, for the greatest of sinners by God. And now we find that the people of the land, they placed a man upon the throne, not a man, a young boy, by the name of Josiah. Now this young man was only 8 years of age when he became king. And it's so good to read this. So many of these kings, they continually did evil in the sight of the Lord. But of this king we read, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as David his father did, and he turned not from the right to the left from serving God. Oh, my hearers, can that be said of you and I? Can it be said of you and I that we do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? I'm afraid not. I'm afraid we wouldn't dare say it. Can it be said of us that we don't turn from the right to the left from doing what God commands us? This young boy, he lived like David of old. David was a man after God's own heart. David, he kept the law of God. It was his delight to walk therein. He only departed from it in the case of Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. But otherwise, he was a man that God loved and feared, and who God graciously gave much of his presence to. And this young boy, 8 years of age, he was like David. Oh, he kept the testimonies of God. He walked in his ways. What a blessing, my hearers. And then we read that in the 8th year of his reign, and we find him seeking the Lord God of his fathers, 16 years of age. And God planted grace in his soul. He began to seek the Lord God of Israel. His heart was made tender. Oh, I would entreat all the young people in my midst that are listening to me. Maybe you're not 16 years of age, you're above that. But all seek this God. He's well worth seeking, my hearers. I couldn't direct you to a better friend, a better helper than this God in heaven above. This young Josiah, he sought the Lord when he was young in life. I wonder if there are any amongst my hearers that have had something like this when they were young in life. There are some that have gray hairs amongst my hearers. How old were you when God began to work a grace in your heart? Or hasn't he begun that? Were you young in life? Were you given to seek the Lord when you were young? Were those scriptures fulfilled in your experience? Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Have you remembered him? Oh, it's good for a man when he's young in life to bear this yoke, for the Lord lays it upon him. Now, this young Josiah, Oh, he was an example unto his people. He compelled Israel to seek this God who he loved, who he feared. He commanded them to worship this God. And we find that this life manifested itself in his outward actions. We find him going throughout his dominion, through his kingdom, and he began to destroy all the images and all the altars that had been built where the people sacrificed and worshiped to Baal and to other gods like the sun, the moon, and other figures that they used in those days. This young Josiah, he gave commandment that they should be demolished. He went himself personally. He didn't just give the command and sit on his throne, but he went with the procession and he seen to it that these idols were all demolished. And he strewed the powder of these idols on the graves of the people that had worshipped them. And he likewise, he came to a certain place and he broke down an idol and he took this idol and he burnt the ashes on a certain place which had been prophesied of. An old prophet had come up against this altar that Jeroboam had built 350 years before this young man was born and had said that a king by the name of Josiah shall burn men's bones upon it. And he likewise took these men, these priests that had been set up by the kings before him, these idolatrous priests, and he took them, and they were slain, and their bones were burned upon this altar. He fulfilling this divine prediction, which was spoken 350 years before he was born. And after he had went through the country and done and rid the country of all idolatrous worship, he came up to the city of Jerusalem. And now, my hearers, we see in this how that it goes when a person is turned back to God. All such a person, they can't go on any longer in the world. They can't serve sin any longer. Or they have such a desire likewise to come up to the house of the Lord. We see this in Josiah. When he came back to Jerusalem, he seen that the temple needed repairs, and he called upon the priest, and he said, gather the money together and repair the temple of the Lord. And they gave the money into the hands of the carpenters and the masoners and the men that did the work, and they commenced to repair the temple of the Lord. And this is what goes on in the heart of a sinner. Oh, when he's born again, when he receives a new life, oh, what a delight he has for the house of the Lord. Oh, I know a time in my life I wished it was Sunday every day. Oh, I love the house of God. I love the messages that I heard there. Oh, what a wonder it is, my hearers, when this takes place in your life. Oh, then one day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elders. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And we have such love for the house of the Lord, just like Josiah did. And now this man, he had rid his country of all idolatrous worship. That is, he thought he had. And so it goes with a sinner. All my hearers, if ever this takes place in your life, and then likewise, no matter where you may be a member of some church, and in that church, and they may teach free will, they don't teach sovereign grace, they may not teach election, they may not teach to the glory of God, but to the glory of man. And if you are sitting under that, and you have it in your heart, that it's God that begun that work in you, that it's so free and so sovereign, and then you will protest, you will utter your voice against it, you can't stay under something like that. And likewise, if you are in a place where idols are worshipped, or where they are bowed down to, or if this is in your heart, you would want to smash all the idols just like Josiah did. You would want to rid the church of all those things, and you would want these people who are being misled to be taught to serve this God and love him as you have been given to do so. And this was in the heart of Josiah, and we see him fulfilling it in his country. And he likewise had such a desire for the house of the Lord. Have you ever had something like that in your life, my hearers? Oh, what a blessing, what a wonder it is when we come under the ministry of the Word and we have ears to hear and a heart to receive. Oh, there's been so many years that we were dead, that we were lifeless, that the truth never affected us, that it never made any impression upon us. How many have I like that amongst my hearers? You've come year after year to the house of God, and never did it touch you or affect your heart. Never did it draw you out to leave and forsake the world and all your former friends. Oh, how sad is your condition, my hearers. But you are still under the truth. You know not what God might do with the truth. It is God that must begin a good work of grace in your soul. And therefore I would entreat you to come under his truth, under his word, and there may he begin that wonderful work of grace. And we find this king commanding these men to repair the temple. And as they are repairing the temple, we find Hilkiah the priest, he finds a book. And he gives this book unto Shaphan the scribe. For this book was the book of the law, the five books of Moses. It appears that somebody had either mislaid it or had laid it away carefully so that it wouldn't come into the hands of an enemy. It was a wonder that this priest found this book. It proves to us that God takes care of his Bible, of his word. He took care of this Bible at that present time already. And when he had this book shaken, he read it, and he brought it to the king. And he told him that the work was progressing and that Hilkiah had found this book in the temple. And he began to read it unto the king. And as he began to read that book, my hearers, the Spirit of God accompanied the word into the heart of Josiah. Oh, when he listened, the law of God fastened itself upon his conscience and upon his heart. See what the God does, my hearers, when we are under the truth at times. See what it does to a heart that has been made tender. We find him tearing his clothes. Oh, he began to see his own sins. And not only his own sins, but the sins of his country and of his people. All this law which was read to him came home to his heart. It broke him to pieces. It broke his heart to see what a creature he was and what his people were. And therefore, he entreated them to go to a certain prophetess by the name of Huldah to find out what God was going to do with him and with his people, because he see nothing else but wrath and indignation from heaven coming down upon them, because the book of the law wrote to him in his very heart that God must punish sin. And we find him sending to this woman. It's odd that he sent to this woman. At this present time, there were two prophets, one by the name of Zechariah and another one by the name of Zephaniah. They were prophesying at the time when he was living. But he sent to this woman, Huldah, the prophetess. You know, under the Old Testament dispensation and likewise under the New, the ministry is committed to men. But God likewise used women. He gifted them likewise with the spirit of prophecy. We find Miriam leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, going before them, dancing with a timbrel and singing to the glory of God. We find likewise in the times of the judges, Deborah, she was a prophetess. And now we have this Huldah. She probably had been gone to more than once before, and they had found that the word of the Lord was in her mouth. And now Josiah sent to her to find out what the word of the Lord would be concerning him and his people. And now when they came to this woman, she began to speak to these men and say, well, as concerning Judah and concerning Israel, oh, God is going to visit these people for their sins. The wrath that this person, Josiah, feared is going to come down upon him. All their sins are so great and so many that God must punish them. But as for this young man, you may return back to him and say, that God says, I have seen that thy heart was humble, that thou did tear thy clothes, and that thou did shed many tears. Therefore, I will take you away before this evil shall come upon you. This was what the word of God was for Josiah. All my hearers, when the law comes home to a person's heart, then he is very inquisitive, very desirous to know how it shall go with him. Has it ever come home to your heart? Has God ever read on your heart this law? It's a fiery law. Oh, when that law comes home, my hearers, we are transgressors. We are guilty creatures. And all we fear that God is going to visit us with his wrath. And when this comes home in this way, it brings us down on our knees. It makes us supplicate to God, what shall I do to be saved? This Josiah, he sent to this woman. And so a sinner sends up many a petition to heaven. What shall become of me, such a sinner, such a creature as I've been? Have you ever sent up such petitions, my hearers? And has God ever met you under the ministry of the word? Has he ever given you a word of comfort? Has he ever encouraged you to believe that you will be destroyed, that the wrath of God will not come down upon you, but that, as Josiah was given the promise, that he would be taken away and his end would be peace? Have you ever had a hope? Have you ever had a word given to you that your end shall be peace? Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if you come under the truth in this way. And then there's a place for the word of God in your hearts. And now we find this King Josiah receiving the message that they gave unto him. And we find that this man, Josiah, he commanded all Israel to come up to the house of the Lord, to the temple. And as he had gathered all the princes and all the people together, he began to read the very book that he had been given by Shaphan the scribe, that had been found in the temple. He began to read it to the people. Oh, my hearers. If ever God works in your heart, if ever he brings home a portion of this word to your soul, then you'll be so anxious that your relatives, your wife, your children, whoever they may be, might likewise be wrought upon. And then you will take that same chapter and all you'll pray that God would use it. He used it for you. Wouldn't he use it for them? This was in the heart of Josiah. The word of God had come home with power to his soul. And all he began to read the law to the people. Oh, he hoped that God would do the same thing to the people as he had done to him. Oh, there's such love for the souls of sinners in the hearts of those whom God has wrought upon. This we see in Josiah. And he began to read the law to the people. And after he had read the law to the people, then he entered into a covenant with God and with the people to serve God, to obey him, to adhere to his word and to his testimonies. Oh, my hearers, have you ever come up into the house of God? Have you ever made a covenant inside? Have you ever written with your finger on your heart, I am the Lord's from thenceforth and forevermore? Or have you made a covenant with him that you would obey him, that you would live before him, or that you would be holy as he is holy? This is what Josiah and the people did at this time in the temple. They entered into a covenant with God, and all the people adhered to the covenant. And now we find Josiah going out again into his country. He had went out once before, but now he went out again. And all they began to demolish everything that was sinful and everything that was idolatrous. Everything had to be cleaned and to be made into dust so that there would be no sin of idol worship in his country. Oh, what a blessing this king was, my hearers, to these people. And what a blessing it was that they found this book of the law. It isn't any wonder that the people were so degenerated and so sinful when the law of God had been hid in the temple and there was no book of the law anymore amongst them. And my hearers, it was God that gave that they found this book again. And you know, it was the glory of the Reformation that God caused the Bible to be translated into the vulgar tongues so that we were delivered from popery. It was the glory of the people that they could read and that could understand the Word of God, which they didn't have before. And now because these people didn't have the law and they degenerated like that, that was no excuse for them. They had it. And my hearers, what will it be for us as a country? God has filled this land from one end to the other end with His precious Bibles. And we all have the Bible. And now it'll come against me and you, whether we have taken the Word, whether we have read it, and whether we have prayed that God would give us to obey Him as He describes His laws and His institutions in His Word. All this land fitted with Bibles will testify against us as a nation. For what do we see throughout our great country, my hearers? Are we any better than Israel of old, even with all the Bibles that we have? Take just one day, the Sabbath day, and look how that commandment is transgressed. Oh, isn't it a wonder that God bears with us yet, that His wrath don't come down upon us as a nation? And that's only one. Consider how many other of the commandments are being trampled upon. How many have the Word of God and don't listen to the Word, have turned away from it, will not give ear unto it, harden their hearts and go on in sin? Oh, sad it is if we are left to ourselves. We may believe that while Josiah was king, religion flourished in his time. Oh, he was a God-fearing king. And all the while he was king, my hearers, everything went well in the land of Israel. And now this king, he went up to make war against the king of Egypt. The king of Egypt came out to fight against the king of Assyria. And when he came out to fight against him, then Josiah went out to make war against the king of Egypt. And the king of Egypt, he warned him. He spoke to him in the name of God and said, I have not come out to make war with you, but God has sent me to make war against this king of Assyria. Abide in your own country. But he would not listen. He disguised himself and he went up to make war against the king. And when he was making war, he was shot with an arrow. He received a mortal wound. And he called on them that were round about him to take him back. And they put him in a chariot and they brought him back to Jerusalem. And on his way back, he died in the chariot. And they buried him in Jerusalem. They buried him in the sepulchres of the kings. Oh, they mourned and wept very greatly for their king. Even Josiah, even Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he wept at that time that they had lost such a God-fearing king. And now we find after this, my hearers, that God, he likewise was going to bring his threatenings down upon the land of Israel. Now, the Israelites, even under King Josiah, they had made a covenant. They had adhered to it while their king lived, but they had done it hypocritically. And now we find them again breaking out into idolatry. And we find that the king, the people of the land, they put Jehoahaz, a son of Josiah, upon the throne. And he done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He only reigned 3 months. And we find that the king of Egypt came and took him prisoner and bound him and took him into the land of Egypt. This king of Egypt, he was provoked because the people had taken this man and put him upon the throne. And therefore he was carried away by this king of Egypt into Egypt. And there, according to Jeremiah, he would die and he would never return to his own country. And after this king had been disposed of, then the king of Egypt put another king on the throne by the name of Jehoiakim. This likewise was a son of Josiah. And this Jehoiakim, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And he reigned 11 years, this king. And while he was king, we find Nebuchadnezzar coming up against the city of Jerusalem. And he invaded Judah, and he likewise came into the city of Jerusalem, and he destroyed so much in the city. He took 10,000 of the people prisoners. He took away all the princes and all the smiths that they had in the country and carried them to Babylon. The historian says that this king Jehoiakim, when he seen his people being taken away and his land made a desolation, that he died of a broken heart. And then we find that they put another king upon the throne. We find Israel now sinking lower and lower. God is going to visit these people, and God is going to bring upon them the Babylonians. And now we have another king by the name of Jehoiachin, and he is placed on the throne. And he only reigns 2 months, it says. And this king came up against him, and he went out with his mother and with all the princes, and he fell away to the king of Babylon. And he took him prisoner with his mother and all his princes and took them to Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar put another man upon the throne by the name of Zedekiah. Now this king, he reigned 11 years. And we find in the prophecy of Jeremiah that Jeremiah is speaking to this king Zedekiah. He likewise did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And God sent his messengers to him to speak in his name, especially Jeremiah. They had at this time profaned the house of the Lord. And they had filled it with abominations. And these people who had been given to see that God dwelt in their temple, now they filled it with all sorts of things that were sinful and evil in God's sight. And God had compassion upon them, and he sent his messengers to them to warn them, to turn them back from their sins, but they would not listen. This king, he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart, and he obstinately refused to return back to God. Oh, how hard of heart was this king Zedekiah. My hearers, are we any better by nature? Has not God sent his messengers unto us? Have you not come up to the house of God Sabbath day after Sabbath day? And have you not heard the declarations out of his own mouth? How that if you go on in your sins, then most certainly wrath shall come upon you. And how have you acted under it? Like Zedekiah, like the people of Israel, they stiffened their neck, they hardened their heart, they wouldn't listen to the messengers. Is not this natural? Is this not human, my hearers? We are all by nature like these people. And this is what these people did, and this is what this king did. Oh, they profaned the sanctuary where God had said he would dwell. where he had come down once time with fire, and they had kept this fire going. It had been ignited by God. And now God let the Chaldeans come into the city of Jerusalem. They took all the vessels out of the temple that Solomon had placed therein, and they took everything that was of any value, that were treasures to the king and to his princes away, and they carried it all away to Babylon. And God was visiting these people for their sins. And they profaned the temple. Oh, I was thinking when I was reading that, how many temples today are being profaned? And there have been places where God dwelt, where he manifested his presence, where his spirit did live and work marvelously. And today, what are these temples, these houses, my heavens? Oh, man set up, free will set up, everything brought into the temple to keep the place going. What do you find in most of the places, my heroes of worship? Oh, you find nothing else but what? Cake sales, card parties, dances, masquerades. Oh, we find all sorts of sports and things that are sinful in God's sight going on in the house of God. Bowling and everything that you think of. All to keep the temple going. The temple being profaned as Israel of old. How many are like that in our land? Oh, may God keep us, my hearers. May he keep us by his precious word. May this be enough for us. We don't need any card parties. We don't need any dances. We don't need things as these people have, my hearers. What we need is this wholesome food, the word of the living God. Oh, may we be given to love it. May we be given to adhere to it. May we be given to obey it, and not like Israel of old, who profaned the temple, discarded the messengers that God sent to them, and went on in their sins, and they came to a position where there was no remedy left for them. They had provoked God, and God was going to bring his anger down upon them. Now what happened to these people? What happened to their temple? What happened to the city of Jerusalem? I will explain to you next week, the Lord willing. That's all for today.